Previously stated, we are so happy to be able to listen to part two of Elder Picklesheimer's message that we began to hear last Monday. The title of the message is The Anointing Oil. Again, we want to thank Brother Sean and Brother Jacob who have been helping us on the technology side of things. But once again, if you didn't hear last week's, the first half of this message, you really need to go on our website. It is up now. It is just tremendous. The anointing that you feel on this message, precisely having to do with the anointing oil. We're going to go ahead and begin to play this now. And please give your focus and attention to this message. Praise God. Here we go.
What is this anointing oil like? How good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, men who are really called of God. Nothing can disturb the fellowship of men who are really called of God than someone wanting to intrude in that who is really not called. I'm sorry, but the aura is not there. There is an aura. There is a presence there. And if he does not carry that presence with him, it's going to cause confusion. People will have to make allowances or make excuses or do this and that. Why? Because he's not anointed. He doesn't have it. It's not that he is being excluded. It's not really that. You see, we have the measure God gave us to reach people. And this safeguards our reliance upon one another. We all have a distance to reach. And these men behind me and other men of God out here who are called of God, this God safeguards everything he does. He has great safety factors involved. And he has a safety factor that he anoints one man to reach so far. Those men who assisted me there in Twin Falls, Idaho, their influence went so far. It would not work to take and put the same, but they can preach, and yes, and they can administrate, and they can teach. But to put them out to pastor a church, God has not determined that. God has determined, and I tell them in front of the congregation, this is where you are. You're not going anywhere. This is the limit of it. And let God use you there in a wonderful way. It's a beautiful thing. And to have a measure to reach to people, in the Greek word it means to have a limited portion. You have a limited portion to reach people. We will have unity, the anointing that I was talking about, that oil being poured over Aaron. It's a setting apart. But it is not an exclusion. It is not something just exclusive. We are not just exclusive, but we are servants. That was poured over him for service. And when you take out the element of service, we really have no fellowship. I might go fishing with somebody or hunting with somebody, and I enjoy that. That's fun. But if you take the element of service out of our life, Brother Morton, what he was talking about when he was introducing me here in his introduction, he was talking about really it boiled down to the service of the kingdom. If you take that out, there's nothing. There just isn't anything there. And we will have wonderful unity when we realize that the anointing oil, the setting apart, is for service.
Yes.
It's for service to the king. That's what it's for. Aaron could not minister without that. It was for service. And we have to have the Spirit of the Lord. He came as a servant. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many.
Yeah.
Amen. If we want the people in our churches to be humble and to be clean, and if we want them to be pure, and we want them to have a right spirit and a right attitude, if we want them to serve the Lord with humility, we're going to have to present to them the Lord with humility.
Yeah.
We're going to have to do it. There has to be an office of service there. And that anointing oil that was poured over Aaron was such a beautiful thing that set him apart, not exclusively, No, the ministers, some of the young guys may think, man, I'd like to hobnob with the preachers and go with them. And yeah, it's kind of nice, but really, you know what? You get talking about the work of God, you get talking about the kingdom of God, you get talking about the things of God, and there's just an awful lot of work to be done, too. We have to have the spirit of a servant. We have to have God's spirit. He didn't come to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And ever and always, the man of God, the anointed man, is a man of tears. He's a man of tears. There's a man I read after sometime, his name is Percy Ainsworth. He said, "It is only through tears that a man sees what his work is and where it lies. It's only through tears that we see certain things. An anointed man is going to be a tearful man. An anointed man is going to be a prayerful man. An anointed man will realize the burden on his shoulders and the burden on his heart. He cannot escape it. He cannot get away from it. And anyone who does not have that anointing will mishandle things so horribly. Situations that have been mishandled so often, they've been mishandled because the man was not called to preach in the first place. He was not called to preach. He did not have that anointing for that job. And, you know, when that happens, you're going to have just problems. And in Philippians chapter 2, I'd like to read something there. Philippians chapter 2 and about verse 19. Philippians 2. 19 and 20, the Apostle Paul speaking, he said, "I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may have be of good comfort when I know your state. I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. All seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel." What a wonderful, beautiful spirit. This is the ultimate apostolic qualification. It is a qualification Timothy qualified under service. He qualified under service, not just to have a position. But Paul said, you know the proof of him. He has labored with me. He has assumed the same burden that I have and that I feel. And when you get into the work of God and the kingdom of God, there has to be that burden for the work of God, a burden for the lost, a burden for souls. Somebody has told a little story about Verbal Bean one time. He was in a city, it may have been St. Petersburg, Florida, a real old town. And he got away from the group. They couldn't find him. And finally they were wandering around. They found him sitting on the steps of a church, and he said, "I just wonder," he was praying, he said, "I wonder if anybody'd ever wept over this city. What if they ever have? What if they've ever wept and cried over this city?" You see, Ephesians chapter 4 tells us about the measure of the gift. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7, we read these words in the Apostle Paul. "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith and ascended up on high, led captivity, and gave gifts unto men." And on down, verse 11, "He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." He said, according to the measure of the gift are the fivefold ministry, and they have a measure. And he said, you see, God gives gifts to those people he has anointed. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. Hallelujah. He said, he gave gifts unto men. to be able to reach men, to be able to reach people. How could someone dare to presume being called of God and yet being required to reach people? The Bible says here in verse 7, with grace, unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift. The gift is the ministry, the fivefold ministry, and you are given grace in your life when you hear the fivefold ministry. You are given grace in your life. That's how you receive grace in your life, because of the gift. It is a gift of God. The Bible says about the grace of God. And here he lets us know that in receiving the grace of God, through the gift of God, you have strength in your life to live for the Lord. That's because someone's anointed. That's because someone's touched. And he'll give you what you need to hear. And he'll give you what you need for strength. Oh my. The anointed man was also the burdened man. You see, young man, if you're not really called to go out into the work of God, and you do go out because you just want to be a preacher, you're going to get offended and you're going to get bitter, because there will not be the recognition of what you want. And you will try to manufacture it, and you will try to do it yourself, and you will try to impress, and you may have some natural abilities that may take you so far, but eventually it's going to run out. And that if that anointing
Hear
oil
what
is not
saying.
There, if that anointing oil is not there, you're going to get offended, and you're going to get bitter, and you're going to think people are not treating you right. To the anointed man of God, it doesn't matter how people treat us. Doesn't matter.
Right.
When I used to carry a card with an organization, they could have taken it away. That wouldn't have changed one bit. Well, they did take it away, in fact. Now, that's another story. That's another story. But anyway, that's going to happen to the individual who wants to be called to preach.
Yeah.
But they're not. And they're going to get bitter, and they're going to get offended, and they're going to make a mess of things, and they're going to mess up other people's lives.
Hear him.
Now, wife, sometimes a wife, you know, if your husband's not called to preach, you don't think he is. Don't tell him he is, just to build up his ego. Lord have mercy. Say, now, honey, are you sure? Are you sure? Yeah. I mean, some wise man, because they want to be preachers' wives, too. Well, forget it. No. No, you don't want to do that. You don't want to support him and his criminal activity here. You don't want to do that. It's one thing to be called of God and to have that anointing on your life. You're going to have enough resistance anyway. You're going to have battles on your hand from the devil, so on and so forth. And like I said, you're going to get offended. You're going to get bitter. But you could stay in a church and be this much help in the kingdom of God. If you go out on your own and do a work of God, you'll be about that much help. But in a church, a local church, helping that man of God, holding up his hands. I know, realize, well, I'll never go out and I'll never pastor a church. Okay, that's all right. God only determines certain individuals. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That anointing oil was for service. It was for service. And if you don't have the anointing of God in your life, you cannot serve him in that capacity. You can serve him only where his anointing touches your life. And that touches your life so you can touch another life. The anointing of a preacher, that's why a man of God can preach and people can be moved and they can be touched. Because that anointing, there's a freshness there. There's something there that can touch a heart, that can touch a life. And it's so important to have that anointing in your life. And man of God, preachers, we have to have the anointing and the call from God. Aaron got it from another world. It came from another world. Because we have to deal with and defeat forces from another world. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But the man who is not anointed, he doesn't have the equipment. The seven sons of Sceva say, well, I know Jesus and I know Paul. Who are you? I mean, the man possessed with a demon told the seven sons of Sceva. He said, I know Jesus. Yeah, I know him. And I know Paul, but who are you? Who are you? You don't have the anointing. Paul had the anointing. Jesus had the anointing. And the devils knew. And the devils trembled.
Yeah.
Well, you go out and try to fight the devil and you're not anointed of God, and that holy anointing oil is not over your life, and you've not been set apart for service, you won't even know the devil. You'll fight people instead of helping people.
Hear this.
My. You got to have that anointing oil in your life, because we're up against a heinous enemy. One that wants to destroy the souls of men. And in order to defeat the force from that other world, we've got to have power from another world. And the man who has the anointing of God, he can walk in where angels fear to trod. He can walk in and say, I'm sorry, but I'm taking over here. I'm taking authority here in the name of Jesus.
Hear this. This is good teaching.
Realize it. My, my, my. Another world. Another world. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 10, the writer said, chiefly them that walk after the lust of the flesh, in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Uncalled, unanointed men do not stand in awe and majesty of the heavenly things. There is a heavenly ministration. There is a heavenly anointing. But men who want this for themselves, someone who's not called of God, but wants to be a preacher and wants to go out into the work of God, he wants it for himself. But the man of God who has it down deep in his heart, he wants it for the kingdom of God. And uncalled, unanointed men, they do not stand in awe of the anointed ones. They don't stand in awe of, and I mean spiritual creed, they don't stand in awe of the majesty of the working of the Holy Ghost, of the working of God's gracious Spirit. They'll get up and they'll rant and rave and they'll scream and they'll holler, and people will look at them, sit there, and then they think, what's wrong with you? Nothing. What's wrong with him? He doesn't have it. God didn't determine for him to be there. And so he gets frustrated and harangues the people when he should stand in awe of the majesty of the holy ones. You see, angels are ministering spirits sent forth to those who shall be heirs of salvation. Angels help God's people. But you've got to have the help of God. You've got to have his help and angelic help when you're in the work of the kingdom. But a man who's really not called, he doesn't have that help. And the angels stand there. God can't give them a command to do this. He said, that's my command for someone who's called, someone that I have placed the anointing over, oil over. The anointing is for service. That's what it's for. It's for service. And gentlemen and brethren, ministering brethren, the deepest relationships we have with each other is rooted in the service of the Lord, is rooted in the service of the kingdom. And someone who does not have that anointing oil, that's all you could use it for. You couldn't use it for yourself. It wasn't for personal reasons. It turned to a curse if you wanted to use it for a personal reason. It's only for service. God knows how to safeguard things. And some people go just bungling on by. And they should stop and say, wait a minute. There's something missing here. There's something missing. We dwell together in a spirit of unity. It's almost aromatic when the beautiful unity of the Holy Ghost. It is something you can almost smell like a beautiful perfume. It is aromatic. It was made to be that way. It had a beautiful odor to it. And it was for service. It was purely for service. That's what it's for. God help us. Fellowship is indeed a sacred thing. Fellowship is a holy thing. It's something that God has determined for us to have, but it's a holy thing. Fellowship is a sacred thing. With Aaron, he had the anointing oil on him, and that was for one thing. That was for service. And our fellowship, that's what the Bible told us there in Psalms 133, how good and pleasant for brethren to dwell together in unity when we have that anointing oil. That anointing oil, you can work things out. You can work out problems. You can work out anything. But if someone is not under that, something's just not going to work. So make sure, if you want to be in the work of God, make sure you're called. Make sure that anointing oil, make sure your pastor has approved, and he knows just the limitation, how far you can reach. Paul said, I have a measure to reach you, and I can reach you. He said, I'm not going to overstep my measure. God bless you today. You've been a great congregation. I'm through.
God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Again, what a tremendous message we heard on the anointing oil from Elder Picklesheimer. I just made a few notes here that he had made reference to. Number one, we are not exclusive. We are servants. We are not exclusive. We're nothing special, but we are servants. Also, he wrote out here that if you take out the service, we have nothing. There has to be humility, and we need to have the spirit of a servant. He references scripture, we are given grace according to the measure of the gift. We are given grace according to the measure of the gift. We want that measure. For what purpose? So that we can be able to reach people. Towards the end, he made another couple of important points here. Without the anointing oil, you're going to get offended and you're going to get bitter. We need that anointing oil for so many reasons. And in closing, what a beautiful analogy he made here about the anointing oil. It produces a beautiful odor. There is a beautiful odor, a beautiful aroma to that oil. And it produces great fellowship and a spirit of service. Once again, what a tremendous message we heard from Elder Picklesheimer tonight. We hope that you take it to heart. Pray on this. Meditate upon it. I think I got a couple of text messages. Brother Sprinkle, yeah, he just wrote a message. This is a good message tonight. And it was, Brother Sprinkle. Well, church, we once again hope that you enjoy this. Take it to heart. And we look forward to having you on Wednesday night at our 7:30 p.m. service Wednesday. God bless all of you. Have a great night in Jesus' name. Amen.